Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
Welcome back to The Takeaway. It's Todd Zwillick. And you know, you might think that the father of virtual reality would be big on escaping the real world. Turns out, not so much.
It's not about escapism at all.
That's straight from the lips of the man who coined the term virtual reality, Jaron Lanier. He's spent a career developing it and tracing its potential. Jaron Lanier has a new memoir out today. It's called Dawn of the New Everything: Encounters with Reality and Virtual Reality. And in the book, he explains why the rise of virtual reality can't be allowed to mean losing our humanity.
These days, there are a lot of messages coming out of the tech world that kind of make people seem unimportant, because there's this idea that the machines will come and do your jobs, they'll drive the trucks and diagnose your illnesses. You also talk to the machines as if they're people. And at the end of all of it, you wonder, am I anything special? Is there anything real in me? Or am I just another piece of mechanism, a fleshy mechanism? And I really hate that. I think it makes me sad, and I think it's just a lie. With virtual reality, there's this amazing thing that there's something floating inside it to experience it. I mean, in virtual reality, everything can change. You can change your body into some alien creature. You can change the world you're in. You can change the rules of how reality works. But there's something that remains, and what is that thing? So in a way, the best gift of virtual reality is that it proves you're real. It highlights that there's really something there. That's you. If you want to call it your soul, that's exposing your soul, because everything else changes. So what's left? Well, now we see it.
Jaron, they call you the father of virtual reality. And I'm glad I got you here, because just this term, I've always wanted to talk to somebody about it. You know, reality isn't virtual, and the virtual world isn't real. And you're the father of a contradiction. Am I right?
The term virtual reality has a history to it, and it goes way back. There was an art theorist named Suzanne Langer who used the term virtual world to describe an idea about art. And then the first headset for virtual reality was created by Ivan Sutherland, the father of computer graphics, in the 60s. And so he used the term to describe what you saw through the headset, the virtual world. And what I wanted to do is make that social, so there would be multiple people and they'd have to have bodies so they could see each other, which was the avatar. And I thought reality was a way to move from virtual world to something that was shared by people. So that's the origin of the term.
Is reality good enough? I mean, what drove you to make this your life's work? What drove you to put bodies in the virtual space?
Well, for me, it started off incredibly personal. What happened was, my mom died when I was a kid, and I was a pretty odd kid anyway, I suppose. And I ended up feeling just so isolated and so separated from people. One day I was staring at a Hieronymus Bosch painting, you know, the Garden of Earthly Delights, the really, really strange one. Sure. And I thought, it's amazing that an artist can share something with other people that's not real, but comes from inside themselves, from inside their brain. And I became obsessed with this idea that by doing things, by making things, we could actually connect with people in a way that just seemed elusive otherwise. And I was just obsessed. God, I just longed for some kind of a dream machine where you could be inside a sort of a waking state dream and improvise it. I had this vision of it from that time. And much later, in my 20s, I started the first virtual reality company to try to create that. Now, of course, what we were doing for money was things like surgical simulators and vehicle design simulators and all that kind of stuff. But that was really what was going on for me.
Was this a form of escapism for you? Is that how you envisioned it for others? Or was it more of just an extension of reality that could connect people?
Yeah, it was completely about connecting with other people. It was the opposite of escapism. I had no need for escapism. I was already escaped. I was like off in my own world. What I really was trying to find was a way back. So for me, it's about trying to find yet new ways to understand what's going on inside other people and to share with them what's going on inside me. It's a quest to make a new thing that's like language, but covers different and maybe deeper territory.
Do you ever worry that maybe they won't connect people in the way that you'd hoped, and that maybe people will use them to isolate themselves?
You know, I think that can happen. But if you want to talk about the dark side of virtual reality, there's one that's darker than that. Let's just go all the way here. And the dark thing is that a virtual reality system can be thought of as the ultimate behavior modification device. It's like putting a rat in some experiment where you measure everything the rat does and immediately change the environment of the rat to create a feedback loop to train it to be different. And we already see something a little like that with today's social media, which is super crude compared to where virtual reality is going. And if we don't get our act together as a society, virtual reality could really be so manipulative and so dark, it could be the end of us. I mean, I just have to be clear about that. So it has an incredible good side and an incredible bad side.
There's a story in your book about technology that you helped invent in the surgical ward, in the surgery room, coming back into your life and into your wife's life as well.
Yeah, that's true. And I wish it weren't true, but what's happened in the last few years, my wife's been battling cancer, and she was saved by a surgical procedure that had been in part prototyped and trained for in virtual reality. And many years ago, I'd co-created the first surgical simulator with a Stanford surgeon named Joe Rosen, and my wife's surgeon was trained by a person that Joe trained. So there was like this direct closing of a circle so many years later. And this is why we can't turn away from technology. We can't say, oh, this is horrible, it's manipulating us, we must just smash all the computers. We really do need them. They're not only lifesavers, they can also create great beauty. And there's just no turning back. We can't undo where we are. We just have to become wiser. We have to become tougher. We can't let them manipulate us.
I've been amazed to read that so much of this for you is about music.
Yeah, see, to me, music is the thing people have done in the past that's the most like what I hope virtual reality will be like. Because with music, people can get together and improvise these structures of enormous sophistication and complexity right in real time, as fast as they can perceive them. And this notion of just creating worlds together is, I think, what virtual reality is going to be all about. And the way we do it in music involves these technologies, these musical instruments that are the most expressive user interfaces ever designed. So to me, music is absolutely the inspiration for virtual reality in every detail. And I'm an instrument obsessive. I have a vast number of instruments that I play, and really too many. It's a sickness. It's nothing to brag about.
And you really do feel like your virtual reality work is an extension of that, right? An extension of that music obsessiveness, that instrument obsessiveness.
Yeah, you know, I do. And in fact, some of the early virtual worlds that I built, just to try to push how far I could go and to figure out how to make things work, involved simulating fantastical musical instruments inside virtual reality. And one of those worlds is even described in the book, and there's a video of it you can watch from a link at the end of the book. To me, it's the best test of really making virtual reality usable and, you know, making sure that people can actually be eloquent with it.
Jaron Lanier is the computer scientist who first coined the term virtual reality, and he's author of the new memoir, Dawn of the New Everything: Encounters with Reality and Virtual Reality.